Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's safe to the congregation now outnumbers the choir. When we started, I wasn't too sure when Marilyn started. There weren't as many people in the room, I don't think, representing the congregation versus the choir members that I knew were here. But it's good that you were able to be here. A few more may come in as they arrive. It's cold outside. And also, we lost an hour of sleep last night, so we're a little dragging for some of us. But I'm glad to see all of you here today and as we gather for worship during Lent. I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen next door. And you'll know on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. Immediately after the service today, right after the postlude, even before coffee hour, those who would like to leave may go to get a cup of coffee. But we are going to have a congregational information meeting about our potential tenants in the parish house come summer. And hopefully it can be a brief meeting, but we want you to be able to ask questions and gain information. But I also know Global Arc is coming in, so that's why we're not going to go get coffee and come back. I'm trying to take a warmer room, too. So, you know, it's immediately after the postlude. Again, anyone that wants to leave may exit. Anyone who wants to stay will just stay in here for our meeting. You'll note the calendar for this week on the back of the bulletin. It is subject to weather. I've already been asked about the Tuesday events, and if we get what's being forecasted, I don't think we will be having Bible study, and I don't think we'll be going to the nursing home. But time will tell. I will try and make that decision probably tomorrow afternoon. But I do remember a few years ago, everything got canceled on a Wednesday, and I woke up and there was not a flake of snow to be had. And so I don't want to do that either, but I also don't want people to get on the roads thinking they have to get someplace. Or you just, you know. But you'll know other activities going on this week. It's a busy week in the life of the church. There is feeding ministry this Friday, and we'll be serving our regular menu. And it will be, no matter what the weather is outside, there will be feeding ministry, and we will need cakes for that as well. One correction is there is no communion next Sunday. We used an old template, and I'm the one that put it in. I didn't catch it. So Mission Board is meeting next Sunday, but there is no communion during the worship service next Sunday. Couple of other things. We've been raising money and collecting money for the American Baptist Women's Ministries. They had a challenge goal for their White Cross to support the missionaries Tom and Terry Myers in Bulgaria. And thank you very much. The congregation contributed $380. The challenge was $225, so the women have put that in. So it's a total of $605 is going for White Cross for them. Thank you very much for your contributions. Also, even though we're talking about snow, there is an insert pink in the regular size. I understand it's white in the large print. If you would like to order flowers for Easter, Easter is coming, you may use this order form. The Scouts are, again, providing the flowers for us for the spring, and you may fill that out at your leisure. Also, we are receiving our next mission offering is the America for Christ offering, which there's information here. There's also an insert in your bulletin, which is the reverse of the litany. The litany is about the offering, and so there's information here about that. One other thing that I'm just announcing, it's not church related, but it's church family related. April is Parkinson's Awareness Month, and there will be a Zumba masterclass as a fundraiser on Saturday, April 8th at 12 noon at the Corinthian Hall in Melrose, and tickets at the door are $10. Paul and Linda Patry's daughter, Allie, is leading a Zumba masterclass to raise funds for the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson Research. She invites you to spend a few hours of your Saturday dancing and helping to raise money for a great cause. There'll be raffles, great music, and great people. Parkinson's is a disease that's affected Allie's family, and she's holding this event in an effort to pow out Parkinson's. If you're unable to attend, there is a GoFundMe page online if you're comfortable doing that. Or checks may be made out to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. And Sharon's going to sort of coordinate that through the church. So you can see Sharon if you'd like to give a gift for Parkinson's research. And I'm going to give that to you, Sharon. And maybe we'll post that as well. And that's all my announcements. So let's turn to the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. be reading verses adapted from Psalm 119. Let's read responsively. Those who stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God, are blessed.
We are blessed by following God's instructions, doing our best to seek God with all our hearts.
God has prescribed the right way to live, the way that leads to health and happiness.
Help us, Lord, to keep the course you set, walking with steady steps all the way.
Then we will not be looking back over our lives with regrets.
Instead, we will have comfort and joy of God's companionship all our ways.
Our opening hymn is He Leadeth Me, number 99 in the hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Together. God, our guide and our protector, as we gather today in your holy house, open our minds and hearts that we may hear the gentle direction of your Spirit in our lives. Help us, we pray, to follow you as you lead us to the place that you have created for us. Forgive us where we have fallen short of your will for us, and renew our troubled spirits with the assurance of your love and your mercy. We ask this in the name of Jesus and now pray in the prayer that he taught as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to turn in the bulletin to the insert that says the Litany and the Ministry of Jesus, which is the reverse of the America for Christ insert this morning. And this is part of our America for Christ promotion. The America for Christ offering is one of four of our denominational annual offerings that we receive, and this money is used to for ministries here in the United States and Puerto Rico. We think about missions overseas. January, we were saying thank you to our retired ministers and missionaries. The disaster one comes, in the spring, but this is the one where we support the ongoing ministries and mission work here in the United States and Puerto Rico. Camping program, curriculum development, the regional ministries, what we call TABCOM, the American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts, and what they are able to provide and support us with, all of those types of ministries. There are neighborhood centers in various cities that provide ministries to families and especially children in those often low-income areas. So those are some of the types of things that the America for Christ offering provides, supports. So this morning we're going to, as part of our promotion of this, we're going to read this litany together. So I invite you to read responsively with me. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day.
It was his custom to join with others for worship and instruction.
Jesus read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me."
Infused with the Holy Spirit, Jesus announced the year of Jubilee.
"By your Spirit, raise up leaders among us who model the way of Jesus."
And who was outside the walls of our church.
Jesus said, "He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind.
Open our eyes to the poverty and injustice that surrounds us."
Jesus sought to challenge and eliminate the abuse of economic power and was committed to moving people from poverty and economic enslavement.
We remember Jesus when he had kind and compassionate, generous and understanding, just and loving.
God, grant us the power to respond to the needs of our community. Help us to cultivate strong advocates for peace, justice, racial equality, and freedom from economic oppression. Continuing in a spirit of prayer, we have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another. And we want to keep Claire Stevens in prayer today. Several of us have heard from Claire this week, and Claire's been to the doctor, and they have discovered more malignancy. They want to do some radical surgery, and she's not wanting to do that. She is open to doing some minor surgery, similar to what she's had in the past, but something that she's weighing, considering. But she really does not want the radical surgery and feels that she's been on earth long enough. Yeah. And so we want to keep Claire in prayer. And I want to keep Paul Patriot in prayer as well. Paul, I hope that he might be here today, but probably with the weather, that did not happen. So we want to keep David Tolstrup. David continues to be at Glen Ridge receiving palliative care. I did see him again this week. Physically, he's quite weak. but his mind is very sharp and very, very strong will. If you know David at all, he has not lost any of that. And so when he is awake, he's able to share conversations, but is very, very weak. So we want to keep Barbara, who is there every day, most of the day with him, and David during this time. Also, we want to continue to keep May Upperman in prayer. May was here last weekend, but we want to keep her in prayer. She's praying today. And do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns? Richard.
I read in the paper this morning that Barbara Bent Panza died.
Oh, okay.
Barbara grew up here in this church. Big family, the Bent family, and I knew many of them. She lived in Acton more recently.
Okay. Yeah, I am quite the bully this morning.
I know. I get up real early.
I do too, but the newspaper's not always my primary thing.
Well, I read it online. Just the obituaries, that's all I
need. You want to make sure he's still alive.
Yeah.
Marilyn?
Yeah, my friend Judy's back in the hospital with bronchitis.
So we want to keep Judy in prayer. We want to keep the Bent and the family in prayer. We also have a prayer request today, either a celebration or a concern. Irene?
My friend Ellen, she's still in rehab, and it kind of looks like they're going to be taking her to a nursing home because she really isn't recuperating from a fall that well. But she doesn't want to do it.
Of course. Okay, you know what, Betty?
We celebrated my youngest child's birthday the other day.
Okay, good.
Bunny.
Mm-hmm. So it's a celebration whenever we celebrate birthdays. Anyone else? Now then, let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. You want us to be in relationship with you. Lord, you're not some remote deity that tries to pull strings and make us behave certain ways, but you give us free will and the ability to make decisions. And you have given us instructions through your holy word and through your son, Jesus Christ. And we are given the free choice of obeying or disobeying. And Lord, we come this day knowing that at times we do not measure up to your high standards. At times we do things that are against your will, sometimes willingly and sometimes not on purpose. But Lord, we come and ask for your forgiveness this day. We just pray that you would forgive us of the mistakes that we have made and just cleanse us and prepare us to go when we go from this place to be a new people, having been together today and being in worship and in conversation with you. Lord, we mentioned today some who are ill and some who are injured. We just pray for healing in those persons' lives according to your will for them. Lord, when decisions are made and have to be made that are not according to what we really want, we just pray that those decisions are what's best for us. And we just pray that there will be a willing spirit to be adaptive when those changes have to take place. And Lord, we pray for those who are in mourning today, continuing mourning, and others that have experienced a recent death. And just pray that your spirit of comfort and peace can be with them. Lord, we were cold this morning as we came to church, and we're mindful of those who do not have enough oil in their tanks, natural gas, to heat their homes, or whether they don't have another coat to wear, and they're cold outside as they're walking. Lord, we just pray for those that don't have shelter today. pray especially for those that may be on the streets now that they've left shelter even overnight, but now are on the streets for the day, knowing that the wind is blowing and even though the sun is out, it's still a very cold air. Lord, we just pray for those people that they may find some type of even temporary shelter where they would be safe. And Lord, we all have basically are hearing the predictions of snow this week for our area. Lord, we just pray for those that are making those preparations for that. And just pray for all that will be affected by it, that there will be no deaths on roads due to that. And just, Lord, we just know that you are always with us. And just pray that you will continue to be with us during whatever storms in our lives that we have, that you will be there to help us buffer through them, that you don't take the storms away from us, but that you help us and guide us through those. And we thank you that you are always there to walk with us, not ahead of us, not behind us, but you are with us, accompanying us. And we thank you for that. We pray all of these things now in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've worshiped in many different ways this morning. We have an opportunity now to worship by presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering. You with our words, with our actions, and with these gifts. We ask that you would bless these gifts, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, that more may come to know him and love him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated, and Dorothy Berry will be coming to read the scripture today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture reading for today is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, reading from verses 21 to 37. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Reka,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger. It will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make evil one hair, white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Dorothy. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words of Jesus this morning, some of them seem so simple to hear, but yet very difficult and challenging to live out. Lord, we just pray that having been today, being here together today, that we will have gained something that will strengthen us and encourage us in our daily living, and especially during this Lenten season, Lord, as we prepare our hearts and minds for the Easter season. We have work to do during Lent, and we just pray that our time together and the message today will help us in that journey. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know anyone or know of anyone who seems to be able to do everything well? It just seems like there's nothing that they can do. I mean, I've heard of some of those people. I'm not sure I've met any of them. But when we are confronted with such accomplishments, most of us feel very inadequate, like we don't measure up. Even the author Charles Duhigg, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who writes for the New York Times, felt that way. He should have been proud that one of his books was a bestseller. But when he looked at some people around him, he realized that he was not doing as much as he could be doing. In describing his feelings when learning about one of those exceptional people, he confessed, quote, "I felt like I was playing in the kiddie pool while the man with so many accomplishments was swimming in an Olympic pool." And this leads us to a Lenten reflection as we consider our own faith lives. Are we playing in the kiddie pool or swimming in an Olympic pool? Our goals help to define that answer. That author could have kept on splashing around in that little kids, and there's nothing wrong with that. But instead, he focused on how to make it into the Olympics. He looked into how some people are able to tackle so much, and then he authored another book entitled Smarter, Faster, Better: The Secrets of Being Productive in Life and Business. He writes, one piece of advice is to stretch yourself. Big goals are not impossible, even though they may seem out of reach, he writes. The reality is that the more ambitious we are, the more we'll do. And author Duhigg recommends creating stretch goals. And a stretch goal is a huge ambition, he writes. It inspires our motivation and dreams, but it can create panic. To avoid panic, the author says that we should break stretch goals down into shorter-term goals that are more achievable and more manageable. Big stretches are best achieved one small stretch at a time. I think we've always learned that. If we have a big job to do, break it into components. It's easier to accomplish the large thing. In the Sermon on the Mount and the verses that we read this morning, Jesus reinterprets some of the laws of the people that were given to Moses as he offers us some very ambitious stretch goals. He speaks to his disciples and a crowd of people, and Matthew reports in chapter 7 that these people were astounded at his teaching. Figuratively, these listeners realize that they have been splashing around in the kiddie pool while Jesus is swimming in an Olympic-sized pool. So just try to imagine Jesus swimming in a pool. Now, again, first century, that was not, you know, they didn't have pools for, you know, recreational swimming. So we're sort of taking that image and sort of superimposing it on something that doesn't really fit. And I know Marilyn would be the first to tell us that. But just try and envision, okay, Jesus in a large swimming pool. And it's not that little kiddie pool that you blow up or the plastic one that cracks every year and you have to get a new one every summer. The point is, though, that the people were listening as Jesus taught. They were fascinated at his teaching. And figuratively, many of them wanted to jump from where they were in those little kiddie pools into be with Jesus in that big Olympic-sized pool. They wanted to follow Jesus, even though they didn't fully understand all that he was teaching. So what are some of those stretch goals that Jesus sets before us through this scripture? In his teachings about anger, adultery, divorce, and oaths from today's scriptures, Jesus creates a contrast between yesterday's kiddie pool living and tomorrow's Olympic pool attitudes and actions. As we wrestle with each of these teachings, we move closer to our stretch goal of swimming with Jesus. The only way to get there, it's one small stretch at a time. And these are four things that a lot of times people don't want to hear these teachings, you know, that Dorothy read about from Matthew and Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Those are things, oh, did he really say that? What did he really mean? It's like, well, can we just sort of skip over those? No, we're going to wrestle with them a little bit today. Concerning anger, Jesus says that the rules of the kiddie pool are, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. These seem like completely sensible rules, especially since no one wants to swim in a pool when people are trying to drown each other. The slogans Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter remind us that we all want a world in which people can live without the fear of being murdered. But Jesus wants us to stretch ourselves to swim in the Olympics. This is where the rules are harder. For he says, if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. For Jesus, avoiding murder is not enough. We are also supposed to control our anger. 2 years ago, a Jordanian pilot was burned to death by the Islamic State, and the news was full of angry talk. I demand none of them amongst us be kept alive, said the pilot's grieving father. I demand the revenge be greater than executing prisoners. A politician in Jordan said, let's kill their children. Let's kill their women. Such anger is understandable. But revenge and punishment will not bring peace to the Middle East. Violence is a cycle deeply rooted in human nature, and revenge killings have kept the wheel turning for thousands of years. The maxim, an eye for an eye, is actually an attempt to break the cycle by declaring that we can only take an eye from a person who has taken our eye. We cannot kill their women and children. For Jesus, the goal is not revenge, but reconciliation. He always wants us to work for peace. When you are offering your gift at the altar, he says, if you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come offer your gift. We sort of see here, Jesus is wanting this reconciliation. He wants the reconciliation horizontally among our brothers and sisters before we offer our worshipful gifts in the vertical sense to God, which we see as a cross. But Jesus says it's important both ways, both the horizontal relationships as well as our vertical one. In a similar manner, Abraham Lincoln advised that the very best way to destroy an enemy is to turn him into a friend. Mahatma Gandhi said, "An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind." All of these leaders knew that punishment and revenge never succeed in breaking the cycle of violence. Moving on concerning adultery, Jesus says that the rule of the kiddie pool is, you shall not commit adultery. This is a very sensible rule, since faithfulness in marriage is the glue that holds families together. When the covenant of marriage is broken, people suffer, men, women, and especially children. But Jesus is not content to enforce the rule against adultery. If we are going to swim with him in the Olympic pool, we need to stretch ourselves to see that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I would like to say the opposite of that is true as well for men, for women looking at men as well, or looking at others. Jesus is warning us that it's not healthy to do one thing with our minds and another thing with our bodies. Instead, we are to keep both together. Concerning divorce, Jesus says and reminds us of the kiddie pool rule that says, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. This rule seems reasonable, although it does make divorce a rather easy thing for a man to do. But in the Olympic pool, Jesus says that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual infidelity, causes her to commit adultery. Here, Jesus is saying that divorce should not be an easy thing for a man to acquire, because marriage is one of the foundations of family and community life. In the time of Jesus, marriage was essential to the well-being of women because they had very few economic or legal rights apart from men. And in both ancient times and today, divorce can have a negative impact on the welfare of children. According to census data, nearly 40% of single-parent households in the United States were under the poverty line in 2010. 40% of single-parent households, compared with just 10% of married family households. So we might say that Jesus comes down hard on divorce because he cares so deeply for vulnerable women and children. So does this mean that divorce among Christians should never be permitted? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. There are times when divorce is the best way out of a terrible relationship. But working for the health of marriage is one of the stretch goals for a follower of Jesus. And finally, Jesus talks about concerning oaths. And he notes that the rule of the kiddie pool is, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. Once again, this sounds very sensible, a very sensible rule that encourages people to keep their promises. But Jesus offers a higher challenge, a stretch goal, to anyone who wants to swim with him. He says, do not swear at all. Instead, let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Jesus is saying that all words should be truthful, not just the words spoken under oath. When we jump into the Olympic pool with Jesus, everything we say should be truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Not just the things we say when we have our hand on the Bible, but everything that comes out of our mouth should be the truth. So we've looked at anger, adultery, divorce, and oaths. The words of Jesus on these, on each of these, can challenge us. They can stretch us and sometimes make us feel inadequate. But the good news is that Jesus is always swimming right beside us, helping us to make it across that Olympic pool. He will stretch us a little each day, more and more, until we are able to achieve the goals he sets out for us. Working for reconciliation, being faithful to our partners, strengthening our marriages, and speaking the truth. We will not be great at everything, but we will be stretching ourselves and swimming with Jesus, which is always exciting and amazing. Let's pray together. Lord, during this Lenten season, we do feel that we are being stretched at times. As we seek to follow you, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to give us instructions on how we are to live. And today, as we've looked at anger and adultery and divorce and making oaths, Lord, we just thank you for your reinterpretation and your understanding of expanding the law of Moses and giving us a new way, but a challenging way to live, O God. And Lord, we just pray this day that as we set our sights on swimming with Jesus in the Olympic pool, that even though we may still be in the kiddie pool or somewhere in between, we just pray, O God, that you will be there with us, swimming with us, encouraging us to stretch ourselves and stretch our faith, that one day we will be in that Olympic pool with Jesus. We thank you for that. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is printed on the insert in the bulletin. And we've been singing some Irish songs today, Irish theme songs for St. Patrick's Day coming up. So this is a front and back. We shall go out with hope of resurrection. Lenten journey continues. May we stretch ourselves as we follow Jesus' teachings more closely. And may we one day be welcomed into his kingdom. Amen.